Okay, so this is going to be a long video, as you can tell. So I'm not going to put a whole bunch of images and videos and music and editing and all that stuff. Probably won't even edit my voice that much. Just want to say what I want to say, get it out there, and not spend a whole lot of time on producing it. But the Superior General of the SSPX, the Society of St. Pius X, has announced plans to consecrate new bishops for the society on July 1st, apparently with or without Rome's approval. Now, rumors had been circulating for the past couple of years that the society would soon be consecrating new bishops with Rome's approval, and that they were just hammering out the details. But that was under Francis. Apparently, those plans have fallen apart under Leo. Now, full disclosure, I know I have a lot of new subscribers. I attend an SSPX chapel, and I do support these consecrations even without Rome's approval, and I'll tell you why. And by the way, if you don't, you are just a regular Catholic who goes to a regular parish and attends the regular mass and regular all this, and you don't really understand this whole SSPX thing. You think that they're being disobedient, you don't support them disobeying Rome and all that. That's fine. That's a reasonable position. I don't agree with it, but you don't have to agree with me on everything. But just hear me out. That's all I ask. And if you like what you see, please like and share the video and subscribe to the channel, turning on all notifications. If you would like to support this channel, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the description. You can also follow us on Facebook and X. The links for those are also in the description. And I will give the shout outs to the people who've bought coffees recently in my next video, which will come out on Sunday. As stated in the announcement, there is a state of necessity making these consecrations necessary. Now, you might say, well, there are plenty of bishops in the church. Why do we need these bishops? And I'll get into that in a moment. But the reality is this: there is a major crisis in the church. Catholicism before Vatican II is different from Catholicism after Vatican II. This would be far too much for me to get into here. The SSPX has a series on the crisis in the church on YouTube called the Crisis in the Church series. It's about 30 or 41-hour videos, so there you go. But the short answer is this: things that were condemned by the church before Vatican II, even infallibly condemned, are now being taught, and that is just a fact. Religious liberty comes to mind. That means the post-Vatican II church is wrong on those things, even if a pope teaches them. Yes, a pope cannot change what the church has always believed. And a recent example of this is you can't call Mary co-redemptrix anymore. That's wrong. Essentially, the church doesn't have the authority to reverse these things. After Vatican II, the church gave us a new mass that is problematic. It's valid, but problematic. The church also changed the rites of ordination and consecration of priests and bishops. The SSPX resists all these changes and gives the faithful Catholicism pre-Vatican II. But don't we have to obey? Well, let me ask you this: if the Pope said the Virgin Mary sinned during her life, would we have to accept it? No. In fact, we should resist it. Not going to go into this, but Catholics have resisted the popes throughout the ages when they were wrong. John the 22nd comes to mind. Saint Robert Bellarmine lays out guidelines for when it is lawful to resist a pope: if he attacks souls, disrupts the civil order, or tries to destroy the church. And I think that the case can be made for all of those, not saying it was done maliciously, but all of those in the case of Vatican II and the post-conciliar church. We have the right to preserve what has been handed down, even if a pope tells us we have to let it go. He is bound to tradition, not the other way around. And consider this: the papal bull Quoprimum, which established the Latin Mass in 1570, that's the Mass that the Society uses, the Mass before the new Mass, says that that Mass can never be done away with, the old Latin Mass, and that a priest cannot be told to say another Mass, like the new Mass. That's what it says. And quo primum has never been abrogated, so said Pope Benedict XVI. And I don't think that it can be. So no, the society is not being disobedient to the church by saying the old mass and refusing to say the new mass. But doesn't papal infallibility mean the Pope can't be wrong? No, it doesn't. And it's only under certain conditions that the church and the Pope are guaranteed to be without error. Those conditions are laid out in the documents of the First Vatican Council. Go read them. We don't live in an age where we can be lax with our faith and just let the church teach us. The mainstream church is not teaching the authentic faith. The new teaching avoids infallibility and stays under that line. Vatican II is clearly not infallible, at least in its new teaching, and it does teach new doctrine. Saint John Paul II said so in Ecclesia Dei Afflicta. Pope Paul VI, the pope who closed the Second Vatican Council, and the only person who gets to decide what level of authority it has, specifically said in a homily that it was non-dogmatic, non-infallible, pastoral, ordinary magisterium. So what we have today is this: things that have been declared at a high level, maybe not infallibly, but at a high level, are being denied or undermined at a lower level. It's very clever, actually. People don't understand levels of authority in the church. All they know is the Pope said this. But an interview or a sermon a Pope gives cannot cancel an apostolic constitution, for example, from a previous Pope. Popes cannot deny something that's infallible, and they are bound by tradition. Popes are guardians of the truth, not the source. So the 80-year-old ex-hippie lady running the RCIA that says the Council of Trent is no longer in force, Vatican II replaced it, is wrong. Even if a priest says that, or a bishop, or even the Pope, they're wrong. But why do we need new bishops? We have plenty of bishops. Not ones that will work with the SSPX and ordain their priests in the old rite, and they stick to the old rites. What's wrong with the new rites? The consecration of bishops was changed drastically in the 1960s. This is important for a number of reasons. One, you need bishops to make priests, and you need bishops and priests to have the sacraments, and bishops confirm the faithful. The church needs bishops to perform sacraments, and only the sacraments give us sanctifying grace. That's the grace that saves us. Sanctifying grace isn't just out there like Protestants think. You need baptism to be saved? Yes, there is such a thing as baptism of desire, but don't count on it. You need sacramental confession to get your sins forgiven, and you need the Eucharist or, well, you have no life in you. Those are Christ's words, not mine. So if the new formula for the consecration of bishops is not valid, as many believe, then eventually the sacraments will die out. The priests that the bishops who were consecrated in the new formula would not be priests, etc. Archbishop Lefebvre, the founder of the SSPX, refused to use the new formulas, so all the priests, and with a few exceptions, and the bishops were all made using the old rites. The other side of the coin are the sedevacantists who come from the Took line, which some also see as doubtful in validity. So the Lefebvre line is the least doubtful line. Now, I personally believe the new rites are valid, as well as the Took line. But I would be lying if I said that I had no doubts about it. Why would the new rites be invalid? The Anglican Church changed its rites of ordination and consecration a few hundred years ago, and those new rites were declared invalid by Pope Leo XIII as a result. I think they changed them back, but it was too late. They had lost apostolic succession, so their sacraments are invalid. Some claim that the changes made in the new rite of consecration for the Catholic Church are very similar and have the same problem. Pope Pius XII set down the rites of ordination and consecration in the Latin rite, and these new rites are a departure from that. And the Council of Trent says, any pastor or minister who changes, despises, or omits the approved rites of the church in the administration of sacraments or replaces them with new ones is to be anathema. So the SSPX is not being disobedient to the church. in refusing to use the new rights. Now, the SSPX did an extensive study on the new rites of ordination and consecration and found that they are valid when done properly, and that's my position as well. But since these new rites are a departure from what the church had already established for the Latin rite, they are schismatic rites, and the SSPX is within their rights to refuse them. The traditional Catholic movement began with the SSPX, and it will die with the SSPX. The fact that the SSPX exists is the only reason the Diocesan Latin Mass, FSSP, ICK, etc. exist. To give people an alternative to the SSPX. If the SSPX goes away, so do they. And all you will have left are a few scattered resistance and sedevacantist groups. The new Mass, the new rites, the new teaching is at least suspect. So we need the SSPX to keep the traditional teaching and traditional sacraments alive until Rome comes to its senses. Therefore, the consecrations are necessary. Hopefully, Rome will just approve the new consecrations, but I doubt it. What will most likely happen, and I hope I'm wrong, is that Rome will condemn the consecrations and announce that since this was done without Rome's approval, it incurs an automatic excommunication for all involved, according to canon law. And here's where the fact that there is a state of necessity is important. Canon law also states that a person cannot receive a late sententia or automatic penalty, including excommunication, if the act was done out of a state of necessity. Even, and this is important, even if a state of necessity doesn't actually exist, the person just thinks it does. And the SSPX believes there is a state of necessity. So no, those excommunications will not be valid. Unless Pope Leo excommunicates them by virtue of his Petrine office and not canon law, which I doubt he will do. Now, in case you didn't know, Archbishop Lefebvre, the founder of the SSPX, consecrated four bishops without Rome's approval in 1988. Rome issued a document declaring Lefebvre, de Castemeyer, who is the co-consecrator, and the four bishops excommunicated by virtue of canon law, which was invalid for the reasons stated above. But the excommunications of the four bishops consecrated was lifted in 2009, and since then, relations with Rome have slowly improved for the SSPX. Two of those bishops have died within the last couple of years, and the remaining two are well in their 60s. The society has grown tremendously in the last few decades, and those two bishops ordain all the priests and do all the confirmations all over the world. So yes, they are in a state of necessity. They need more bishops. So what's the difference between 1988 and now? Well, nothing as far as the reasoning, but a lot as far as public relations or public perception. The 1988 consecrations were a black eye on the SSPX for a long time and took decades to overcome. On one hand, one must wonder if the society really wants to throw away all that progress and start over. And they wouldn't dream of it if it was not a necessity. In 1988, the SSPX and traditional Catholicism in general was considered fringe. That's no longer the case. Back in 1988, very few people knew who Archbishop Lefebvre was, and he was painted as the villain in the media. He was just some disobedient bishop who got what was coming to him. Thanks to the internet, that is no longer the case. The case for Archbishop Lefebvre and the 1988 consecrations is now out there. Lefebvre was going up against a wildly popular pope, John Paul II, arguably the most popular pope in church history. We are just now coming off the pontificate of a wildly unpopular pope, Pope Francis, and people are suspicious of Pope Leo. How he handles this will tell people a lot. In a lot of ways, he is guilty until proven innocent. That's not fair to him, but that's where we're at. Allowing the consecrations would probably be a good move for him. In 1988, the crisis in the church was not evident. Now it is. And traditional Catholicism is seen as the remedy by many. The Catholic Church was seen as healthy with a good reputation throughout the world back then. That is not the case now. The sex abuse scandal and the fact that most of the clergy is homosexual is widely known has really hurt the reputation of the church. and the traditional movement is seen as a counter to that. The Catholic Church used to wholesale condemn the Chinese National Church for consecrating bishops without Rome's approval. Same thing. Now they've come to an agreement with them. It would be very hypocritical of Rome to wholesale condemn the SSPX again when they are working with the communist government of China. We'll work with you if you're an atheist communist government who wants to destroy the church, but not if you're a traditionalist trying to preserve it. So what will happen if Rome doesn't give approval and the society consecrates bishops anyway? Rome will announce an excommunication, which will not be valid as already stated. Rome will yank the concessions for confession and marriages, and the society will claim supplied jurisdiction. Accusations of schism will be loud and proud from the usual suspects. Some attendees of SSPX masses will stop going, but most will continue. The society will be in a much better position than it is now, and it will continue its mission. Over time, as the mainstream church continues to fall off the cliff, the Society of St. Pius X will continue to grow, and in the end, it will probably be left holding the bag. What do you mean by supplied jurisdiction? There are seven sacraments. A sacrament could be performed invalidly, validly, or validly and licit. Validly or validity means it happens. Okay, so if someone gets baptized, the baptism was valid. That means that what baptism does happened. Same with the Eucharist, same with everything. Licit means it's done with the church's approval or legally. We're not talking about that. We're only talking about validity. Baptism can be performed by even a non-Christian validly. So literally anybody can baptize anyone else. Any man who has ever been ordained a Catholic priest or an Orthodox priest can give last rites and perform the Eucharist validly. Any validly consecrated bishop can validly give holy orders and confirmation. But only the Pope or the Bishop of the diocese have jurisdiction to give faculties to a priest to validly hear confession and perform marriages. The SSPX bishops do not have jurisdiction. They are auxiliary bishops, sacramental bishops only. They're just there to ordain priests and confirm the faithful. Right now, the SSPX has faculties from Rome for confession, and the local bishops are supposed to work with the society priests for marriages. All of that will probably go away with these consecrations. But there is such a thing as supplied jurisdiction, where the church herself supplies the jurisdiction in certain circumstances. The SSPX has always maintained that they have supplied jurisdiction for confession and marriages due to the crisis in the church. Now consider this. The Code of Canon Law 1335 says that you can go to a suspended priest, so that's a priest without faculties, as long as the suspension was not laetae sententia or automatic, which in the case of the priest, it won't be, it will be auto venus, for a sacrament or an act of governance for any just reason. This would undoubtedly include confession and marriages. The just reason can be that you can't get the authentic faith in the Novus Ordo parishes, and you don't want your children to leave the faith when they grow, when they get older. The salvation of souls is the highest law, and the Novus Ordo, which is the new mass and the new teaching that's being done in all the dioceses and the parishes, are a danger to a person's faith and drive people away from the church. There are all kinds of stats out there, and none of them are good. One stat says that 80% of people raised Catholic leave the church by the age of 23. Another one on EWTN, which I will put a link in the notes, says that 9 out of 10 people raised Catholic leave the church. I have experienced this myself. All 4 of my children were raised in the Novus Ordo, the regular church, and they all left. I had already been studying Catholicism for years, and I already knew that the church had watered down the faith and wasn't teaching certain things, But when my kids left, I started looking for answers. I already knew the answer. The church was no longer claiming exclusivity. They have watered down no salvation outside of the church to the point that it's meaningless. And long story short, I discovered tradition. Now, the SSPX does not have this problem. I'm not saying everyone stays, but the numbers are much better. Maybe 1 in 5 leave who were raised in the SSPX. Now, there is no salvation outside of the Catholic Church, and missing Mass is a mortal sin. So even if these people say, I'm Catholic, but never or hardly ever go to Mass, they are objectively in mortal sin. A study in the 90s showed that over 90% of Catholics have used contraception. This is not the case in the SSPX. Contraception is a mortal sin, objectively. A recent study showed that 70% of Catholics do not believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. This is not the case in the SSPX. Denying a dogma is heresy and objectively a mortal sin. By the way, mortal sin is the sin that sends you to hell when you die. The watering down of the faith, denial of doctrine, and just rampant heresy that's in the mainstream church today is directly responsible for people leaving the church and falling into mortal sin. Yes, the crisis in the church is that bad, so bad that it warrants what the SSPX is doing. So that's my position. I might make more videos like this as things develop. I do still plan on having a video out Sunday night. So until my next video, God bless.